Okay, the meeting of the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs will come to order. The time now is 1:07 p.m., Tuesday, March 18th, 2014. We're in room 120. Members present, we have Co-Chair Representative Ledoux, Representative Higgins, Hughes, Reinbold, Sadler, and we are missing Grunberg. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please do turn off phones if you have them here, as they'll disrupt our sound or recording systems. Today we're hearing two bills, HGR 25, Vietnam Vets Service-Related Diseases, and then HB 286, Veterans Retirement, Loans, Housing, and Employment. So we'll start with HGR 25, and we have Co-Chair Representative Ledoux. It's her bill, and will you be speaking on that, or should I call up staff?
I'm going to introduce the bill, like say a couple of sentences, and then I'll call up my staff.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon, folks. My name is Gabrielle Ledoux, and I represent East Anchorage, Muldoon, and the Elmendorf portion of J-Bear. And I am here to introduce House Joint Resolution 25, and I'll say a few sentences about it myself to introduce the bill, and then I will introduce my staffer, Thomas Brown, who will be here to further tell you more details than I have and to answer any questions that you have. So thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for agreeing to hear this bill today. HJR 25 is a step towards fixing a lapse in our treatment of Vietnam veterans. Currently, only soldiers who had, quote, boots on the ground, unquote, during that conflict are eligible for benefits related to their exposure to Agent Orange. HJR 25 urges the United States Congress to pass House Resolution 543, the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act of 2013. HR 543 amends current compensation and health care regulations to include coverage of the service members who served in the waters of Vietnam, many of whom were also exposed to Agent Orange, a fact not recognized by the federal government. These brave men served their country honorably, and we need to remind the Congress of its responsibility towards our veterans. And with that, I am going to turn this over to my staff, Thomas Brown, to briefly explain the resolution. And I'm going to join you back up there.
Thank you, Representative Ledoux. And if you could just put your name on the record, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Thomas Brown, staff to Representative Ledoux. Before I give you a brief summary of HGR 25, I'd like to give you some background information. In 1991, United States Congress passed the Agent Orange Act, which forced the VA, the Department of Veterans Affairs, to make a presumption of exposure for any Vietnam veteran who displays symptoms related to the herbicide known as Agent Orange, and then to provide them with medical and or financial benefits. In 2002, the VA redefined what made a veteran eligible for those benefits, choosing to limit them only to those veterans who had served on the ground, quote-unquote, boots on the ground, thereby dismissing all of the offshore Navy and Marine personnel from coverage. This was done without any scientific, medical, or legal reasons. Over the last 6 years, the Institute of Medicine, the health arm of the National Academy of Sciences, has issued four separate reports, including one conducted at the request of the VA, all of which have concluded that there are no legitimate reasons to exclude members of the Blue Water Navy, which is how the Marine and Navy personnel were stationed offshore are known, that there are no legitimate reasons to exclude members of the Blue Water Navy from receiving benefits related to their exposure to Agent Orange. There is currently a bill before Congress, H.R. 543, the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act of 2013, which would reverse this arbitrary act of bureaucracy, return medical benefits and compensation to the veterans who have earned them. It has 174 co-sponsors from both sides of the aisle, including our own Congressman Don Young. HGR 25 does nothing more than urge Congress to honor our veterans and pass the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act of 2013. D.C. has an obligation to provide our veterans with the medical and financial assistance they deserve, and we need to hold the members of Congress accountable when they fail to do their duty. Should HGR 25 be passed by this legislature, copies of the resolution would be delivered to our congressional delegation, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, the Speaker of the House, Vice President Biden, and President Obama. There are potentially hundreds of Blue Water Navy veterans in Alaska right now that could be in need of assistance due to their exposure to the toxins they were exposed to during their time of service. It is the responsibility of the state of Alaska to jog Congress's collective memory and demand they fulfill their debt to our veterans. And if you have any questions, I'd love to try to answer them.
Okay, before we go to public testimony, are there any questions of the committee? Representative Reinbold and then Representative Hughes.
Thank you, Chair Foster. What I would like to ask you is, do you have any idea that the impact to the state, how many specific Alaskans have been affected?
There is no way to know that right now. There are approximately 609 personnel that qualify as Blue Water Navy in Alaska, but since they can't be treated for Agent Orange, there's actually no way of knowing how many of them. I mean, it could be 609, it could be 9, but we don't know.
Okay. And I also just wanted to say through the chair that thank you very much for bringing this forward. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Representative Hughes and then Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to the sponsor and to you, Tom, for working on this. I have a question to those that were in the air and out in the ships. They actually never went on land at all, or is the definition of boots on the ground where the certain percentage of time had to be? So if they were just in the area but not actually landing, then they weren't qualified. Is that correct, or was it if they were in and out that they didn't qualify?
Through the chair, Representative Hughes, it has nothing to do with the duration of time they spent on the ground, as just where they were stationed. The VA made an administrative decision to disqualify anybody who never set foot on land. For some reason, they thought that toxins couldn't be passed through the water and through the air and on top of all of the equipment and personnel that the Navy and the Marines escorted to and from the land.
Okay. I just might mention I'm not sure if I have a conflict of interest, as my husband was in helicopters flying in and out, so he was on the ground some, but I'm not exactly sure where during his period where he was based. So anyway, I'll just put that out there. I have a question as far as
object. Were we supposed to object to that?
And absolutely, no, that's fine. So, Representative Hughes, if we do go to vote, you'll be required to vote. There has been an objection. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then I just had a question. If you can familiarize us with the types of medical conditions that are resulting from Agent Orange, so it might help us realize the importance of including these service members.
Through the chair, Representative Hughes, the effects range from anywhere from it's mainly neurological damage, so there are no visible effects for the most part. There are, in very many cases, skin rashes and dermatological conditions, but the vast majority of cases are neurological in nature, and they've run a very wide spectrum of minor irritation to life-threatening.
Representative Sadler.
Thanks, sir. Tom? What's the current status of House Resolution 543 in the U.S. Congress?
It has not moved out of the committee to which it was originally assigned. I forget the name of the committee. I'm sorry, through the chair, Rep. Sadler. It's been sitting there since it was introduced last year in the early part of 2013.
Has the federal, with a couple of permission to follow
sure,
up, a couple,
sure.
Has the federal Veterans Administration offered testimony on the bill, do you know, or?
They have not, but through the chair, sorry.
Dialogue is fine.
Okay, thanks. And I know you're not defending that, well, actually you're calling for us to support passage of legislation, so the questions to the bill are fair. Is there any kind of what I would call a state fiscal note at the federal level for what the cost would be to to extend the coverage, the presumption of Asian origin exposure to airmen and sailors?
Representative Sadler, it has been my understanding that there's so little interest in this bill that they have done absolutely nothing. There is no fiscal note on it. There is nothing else attached to it. It's dead in the water for the most part. It's, people just have no interest. This is the third or fourth time it's been introduced in Congress, and each time it has gone absolutely nowhere. It would be logical to assume that there would be a cost because you'd be increasing the number of people that the VA would be required to see. But there's absolutely no data at all to know how much that would be.
Okay. My last question, Mr. Chair, was going to be if there's any fiscal assessment of the fiscal cost of the Agent Orange Act of 2001 that had the presumption of Agent Orange exposure for those who actually were in country on the ground. Any information you could share with us about the costs associated with that? Presumption would be good.
Could you actually repeat the question?
Certainly. The question is, would you be able to provide the committee with any information as to what the federal costs had been for the Agent Orange Act of 1991, which extended the presumption of Agent Orange coverage to soldiers who had been on the ground in Vietnam? Basically, what's it costing now, so we get some assessment as to what it might cost to extend it?
No, I'm afraid I would not have that information on hand. I'm sorry.
Representative Higgins and then Representative Hughes.
You know, thanks, Tom, for bringing this forward. I guess the real question is, really, does it even matter what the cost is? Because, you know, we have our servicemen over there serving, and, you know, granted that they didn't understand the toxicity of the chemical they were working with, but we do know what it is now, and we do know it has affected our servicemen and servicewomen, and I think we have an obligation to those people to try to help them. And so... You know, granted, there's a cost to it, but it really doesn't matter what the cost is. I mean, we've seen that already. Our government is willing to put out health care out there at whatever cost it is. So I think by serving our servicemen is very little to that point. So it's basically more of a comment than it is a question to Tom, but I appreciate the resolution. Thank you.
And I also wanted to note for the record that Representative Gruenberg has been with us for the past few minutes also. Representative Hughes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is a bill only in the U.S. House, correct? Not in the U.S. Senate? Is that correct?
Correct, Representative Hughes. There's no corresponding legislation on the other body.
Follow-up?
Oh.
I know that we typically have a set of people that we send resolutions to, but I always wonder, particularly in this case, because there's not a bill moving through doing any that even exists in the Senate, and the Senate President at the U.S. level is of course the Vice President, and I always wonder if it actually gets over to the Senate. And I don't know, we don't have to add it here, but I would perhaps suggest that the sponsor make sure that the Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid gets a copy, because if we got some involvement on the Senate side, maybe there'd be a chance that it could move. And since this is, I think you said, the fourth attempt, it's a sorry state of affairs. And I just want to make sure the U.S. Senate gets the message. And that was a comment.
Are there any further questions of the committee? Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know that I've co-sponsored this, did I?
I do not believe so, no.
Okay. If I didn't, the reason is because I was a Navy veteran in Vietnam.
You did. Pardon, yes, you did. Yes, you did.
You did.
Yes, you did.
Okay, good. And as a matter of fact, I was on an LST, a large landing ship, that was part of the Blue Water Navy and part of the Brown Water Navy. Did you discuss the difference between the two?
No, sir, I didn't.
The Blue Water Navy are the folks who are in the offshore areas where the water's blue. And the Brown Water Navy in Vietnam was in the inland waters and right up on the beaches where we went. And I was in a squadron of 9 LSTs. I was a gunnery officer and assistant first lieutenant in charge of the deck gang, and went out with the boats on occasion. And we were mothership. And there were 9 of us, and we were homeported in Yokosuka. And it was a larger LST. It's not the smaller ones in World War II, but they looked the same. The bow opens up, and we were basically a cargo ship. and we would transport vehicles and cargo and stuff. And if you watched Mr. Roberts, the movie, we were like the ship there. We went between Bordium and Tietam with a side trip to Menotomy. And we just were a very priority ship. And recently, the Department of the Navy or whoever makes these designations said that the ship, the LSTs in my squadron, were, if anybody got diabetes, type 2 diabetes, presumption was it's from Agent Orange. And I happen to have type 2 diabetes. I don't think it was from that. But I have a conflict of interest. And first, I'd like to ask to be excused from voting.
Jack.
Thank you. And second, I'd like to support the bill. And in the Senate and in the Congress, I think what they're doing a lot now is putting stuff like this into a bigger bill. You wouldn't likely find something little like this passed, but they'd meld it into an appropriations bill or something like that. And just because this bill didn't get movement on its own, are you aware of whether there's any attempt to put this into any of the other bills that are making their way through?
Representative Grunberg, I actually was in contact with Congressman Young's office, and they have, they're not one of the prime sponsors. They're one of the other 174 co-sponsors. As far as they're aware, that no attempt has been made to move it forward at all. It's just been...
You might, through the chair, you might want to check with the House sponsor and with the senators are on the Appropriation Committee. They may be able to sneak it in as a rider on something like that. People, the folks who are the chairs of the Armed Services Committee, but just the fact that this particular bill didn't make it through, I think you might look and see if some of these other vehicles are used. But I think it's a good bill, and it'll help a lot of Navy folks and their family. If we wait too long, we'll all be dead, one way or the other.
To the chair, Representative Grunberg, I couldn't agree more. I think everything needs to be done, and thank you for your service, and thank you for your comments.
Representative Sadler?
Thank you. And actually, riffing off what Representative Grunberg said, my question is about the fiscal impact and the other aspects of the bill going towards its status, whether it's going to get legs on its own or if it might get into something, some other vehicle. Just trying to see what you're up against here. And should not be interpreted as a lack of support for the resolution.
Through the chair, thank you, Representative Sadler. I didn't take it that way.
Are there further questions of the committee? Representative Co-Chair Ledoux.
I was wondering whether Representative Hughes would like to make a conceptual amendment to add Harry Reid to the list of people.
Through chair, yes, Representative Ledoux. If it is the sponsors, if the sponsor is willing to do that, I think that would be an excellent idea. And so how do I go about doing that? I just propose to move
amendment number.
Yeah, I think we've got public testimony, but I'm assuming it's okay if we go ahead and jump right into the amendment right now. Okay. Okay.
I move a conceptual amendment to add U.S. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid to the section on page 2, lines 21 through 26, so that he will receive a copy.
Okay, and is there any objection?
Just for the purpose of an amendment to the amendment, possibly. I think we should do this in a bipartisan way, and if we send it to Senator Reid, we should send it to the Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, too. Would you take that as a friendly amendment to your amendment?
Yes, I would.
Thank you. I'll move my objection.
Okay. Are there any objections to the amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, that has passed. Are there any objections to the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment has passed as well. So, thank you. Okay, if there are no further questions of the committee, we do have a John Rossi on the line. John, are you there?
Hello, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. First of all, we're going to go ahead and open this up to public testimony officially here. And John, if you could just state your name and affiliation for the record and proceed with your testimony.
My name is John Rossi. I'm the Executive Vice President of the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veteran Association. We've been an instrumental behind the scenes in providing educational and documented information to the public as well as to members of Congress so that they do understand the intricacies of the bill, and the chief one being that there is very high, very strong evidence of probability of exposure for the ships that were offshore. And because of this, the VA needs to pull this back into the Agent Orange Act of 1991. There were a couple questions asked that I can give you some bits of information on. For instance, the Congressional Budget Office released a preliminary estimate in October of 2012 that over a 10-year period, this bill could cost around $1.7 billion to the budget of the Veterans Division. That includes all aspects, compensation, as well as health care. And it also includes the headcount of those who die of the disease that is related to the dioxin within Agent Orange. If they die of a service-connected injury, then their dependents, and typically at this age their spouse, is eligible for health care and a compensation, a much lower monthly compensation from the VA. And all those numbers have been computed into that preliminary estimate. We're hoping to get a finalization of that soon. And the last discussions I was in with them, that number will go down because the number of veterans who served in the Blue Water Navy, the number previously used was approximately 229,000. That number is thought to be more in the area of about 190 to 210,000. So it's dropped a good 20,000 individuals. Regarding the diseases, first off, you would need to realize that in order to even qualify for this bill, there has to be a diagnosis of an active disease. The most prevalent is the diabetes mellitus 2, but it also includes several cancers, respiratory, prostate cancer. They've also added non-Hodgkin's disease. Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma is in there, but they've also added Parkinson's disease, and that, you know, definitely is a neurological problem. The others have at least partial neurological, that one is 100% neurological. And let's see. What were a couple of the other questions? Let me address this. It is, this is the third congressional session, a 2-year cycle. The first introduction was done in July, just before the end of the congressional session in 2010. So it's really, this is in its second full session. The numbers of veterans within the state of Alaska is true. I mean, that number was correct. And unfortunately, the VA does not they don't have the mechanism to essentially follow each veteran within each state. The main reason for that is that about less than 30% of veterans of any war take advantage of the VA health care system, and so there's a large chunk of the veterans that that they simply don't track, at least for purposes like this. Is there any other question that I can assist with?
Representative Grunberg has a question.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. First of all, thank you for your service. I take it you were in Vietnam.
Yes, sir. I was on a destroyer most of the year of 1969.
May I ask which one?
USS Bradford, DD-446.
Okay. I have a couple of questions about the bill, and I don't know if you're the person to ask about them or the bill, represent the bill sponsor here. It's limited to the territorial seas of such republic, i.e. Vietnam. How far does that extend off the coast of Vietnam?
Vietnam uses a baseline territorial designation, and what that means is instead of following the coast, the baseline is measured from a low water point, which in some cases sits out from the several hundred yards in some cases. And actually, when you get down around the delta area, the southern portion of South Vietnam, that baseline extends several miles off the shore. From the baseline, the territorial waters are 12 miles outward from that baseline point.
And my question is that a number of the ships, possibly some that carried Agent Orange, may have been supply ships or maybe even oilers or something like that, that may have been beyond the 12 miles but may have supplied either vert reps or something, the Agent Orange going in country. And I'm wondering, is there any question through the chair as to whether that designation was far enough in this particular case? Do you know?
In my personal opinion, when we introduced the bill, it was for the entire theater of combat. In order for the Senate to sponsor the bill during last session, they required that to be pared down some, so they designated the territorial waters. Now, the interesting thing on that is that the I've worked with the Congressional Budget Office when they were preparing this initial preliminary estimate. And what they ended up doing was essentially the head count for everyone in the theater of combat is being used to identify the cost, and simply by verbiage, a portion of that segment of the population is being cut off from the benefits if they were further out than the 12 miles. We've looked at the aircraft carriers, which are the most likely to not have come in to the 12-mile limit. And in fact, of the 27 aircraft carriers, we found, I believe six, could be seven, that actually entered the territorial waters. So there are a lot of blue water sailors who aren't even going to be covered on this first pass at the bill. But that's something that I personally am have on my agenda to expand that.
Mr. Chair, I did my midshipman cruise on the Ticonderoga, which was another aircraft carrier, so I'm somewhat concerned about that myself, if some of the folks who may have been handling this stuff and refueling planes and stuff that may have been involved in this might have been excluded by the bill.
before I pass on to my next area of questioning, my first question is, since what we're doing here is a resolution urging the passage of this legislation, would it be advisable to ask that we as a legislature, Alaska legislature, recommend that the term territorial sea of the Republic be extended to cover these other people? So at least we weigh in that we'd like to see everybody who should be covered would be covered under this, urging that they consider an amendment?
That I would agree with wholeheartedly. My guess is that when this bill passes, they will probably leave it as the territorial waters. But as the homework is done and they find that a large percentage of blue water sailors have not been covered, then we have already been discussing coming back for an amendment to that legislation, probably in the next session cycle.
And if I may continue, please. I note that the final line says, and the bill itself says, the amendments made by subsections A and B shall take effect on September 25, 1985. That was long after Vietnam. How was that date chosen?
That historically has a lot to do with when the VA essentially recognized that they did have casualties or a large morbidity population that was there because of their diseases caused by the dioxin within the Agent Orange. So historically, that tends to be a starting date of many of the Vietnam related legislations.
If I may, through the chair, that would also, I'm sure, cut off a bunch of other people too, would it not?
Well, very probably not, because if someone alive in 1985 had a diagnosis of any of these diseases, they have probably not survived to this point in time. Our own estimates are that the average age of a Vietnam veteran is 66 years. So just by being in Vietnam, they're about 13 years shorter lifespan than the average American male. If they were sick at the time in 1985, I'm just going to throw this one off the hip. I don't have any data on this, but my guess is 85 to 90% of those individuals have not survived.
And finally, you said, with it to the chair, you said that this was apparently a Senate bill in the last Congress. Is that right?
That is correct. It was introduced both in the House and the Senate during the last Congress. What we have understood now is that it was introduced into the House by Representative Chris Gibson from New York. Once the House has passed it, it automatically gets put on the doorstep of the Senate. We've been talking with and working with some of the Senate offices and feel fairly confident that we have a majority of that in that House also, but it has not been formally brought to the committee within the Senate.
Just a final question, if I may. Would you recommend it be sent to any particular senators as well?
I would. I would say definitely the chairman of the Senate Veterans Committee, Bernie Sanders, Senator Bernie Sanders, I believe New Hampshire, who has been, hearing from the support that has been rising on this particular bill. If you could send it to the speaker for the Senate, I guess that's Vice President Biden. That from that point, it can be distributed to all the rest to the senators.
Mr. Chair. Sir, just one final question. You don't happen to know who the ranking Republican is on the Veterans Affairs Committee, do you?
Well, not off the top of my head. I could look it up on the Internet.
No, not necessary. Thank you very much. At the appropriate time, I'd like to make an amendment to send it to Senator Bernie Sanders and the ranking Republican.
Okay. Maybe once we come out of public testimony. Are there any further questions for Mr. Rossi? Okay, hearing none. Thank you, Mr. Rossi. Is there anybody in the audience or anybody else online who would like to testify? Representative Hughes?
I'm thinking, actually, this might be best for Mr. Rossi. I was thinking the sponsor, but so whoever could answer these questions. And I support the resolution. This is just information. I think that it's good for us to know. And that is the if this were to pass in Congress, it would include these service members so that they would receive the benefits of the medical care and compensation. So I just was wondering, if they have these complications as a result of Agent Orange, what that compensation amount, annual amount would be, or monthly amount. I'm curious as to that. And then also, this is somewhat of a medical question, and if it can't be answered, I understand. I have a feeling that it can't be tied. But I'm wondering, thinking of the prevalence of diabetes in our nation and of prostate cancer and some of the things that were mentioned, is there a way when these conditions are diagnosed to determine whether or not that Agent Orange was the cause, or whether they just have to assume that the likelihood is that Agent Orange was the cause? So those are my two questions.
Mr. Rossi, did you hear those questions, and are you able to answer either of those or both?
Yes, I will take a shot at both of those. The compensation is based on a range of 0 to 100 percent disability. When a veteran is in a situation where they have an active cancer, they are typically given 100% disability. Many of the other diseases that are associated with the Agent Orange dioxin can range from 40% to 100%. Right now, the 100% payment is $3,020 a month. I'm going from memory on that, but let me look here if I have that. Let me amend that. The 100% for a veteran who is not married, just a veteran alone, $2,858.24. If the veteran is married, the 100% compensation is $3,017.60. Let's see. The other question essentially had to do with the can you repeat that, the second question that you thought was more medical than?
Representative Hughes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To whether the diagnosis can be tied specifically in specific cases to the cause of Agent Orange, or whether that just is an assumption that was likely caused by that.
At this point in time, it's not we're not able to tell exactly where the disease started. Most of the blue water sailors, however, if they have heart problems, ischemic heart disease is on that list. If they have diabetes, if they have a prostate cancer, we're finding that about 90% of these guys actually started experiencing that in their 40s or even in their 30s. So most of the cases that are going to be filed are from individuals who have had this particular problem or their particular problem for quite quite some time. Now, that's not everyone. One of the characteristics of dioxin is that it is capable of lying dormant within the system, and we're having guys right now showing their first signs of any of the diseases. In that case, it's much harder to tell, but because of the way the Agent Orange Act of 1991 was written, the presumption is given to the veteran that that's where that disease originated. It's not a foolproof way, but one of the things, this was introduced by Admiral Zumwalt, that broader approach is one that will make sure that all of the legitimate claims are covered, even if a few sneak through that are not legitimate. The only other alternative, excuse me, the only other alternative would be to limit the who is eligible, and in that case, you would be excluding some that definitely are eligible or should be eligible for the benefit. So the broader scope has been the one that the VA has taken on this issue since the Agent Orange Act of 91.
Does that answer your questions okay, Representative Hughes? Representative Greenberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I need to put on the record that I may be affected by this, and some of my questions are going to be very brief, will affect me, that needs to go on the record. The effect of this legislation, as I understand it, Mr. Rossi, through the chair, is that there becomes a presumption that if you have these these related diseases and were within the covered class, i.e. you were a Navy veteran, in this case, in the territorial waters in Vietnam during the relevant period, the presumption legally is that there was a cause of your disease by Agent Orange. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's a correct way to interpret that.
Question, and I don't want to put you in a position of making a legal determination when you're not a lawyer, I assume, but would that not flip the burden of proof from the veteran to the VA to deny that presumption? Is that right? Or it would just be that there's no presumption either way?
If I understand your question, the presumption clause applies in all cases. Generally, what a veteran, for instance, the veterans that have boots on ground, there was a statement made earlier regarding the time limit for having been on the ground. If a veteran was on the ground for 2 or 3 minutes, they're just as eligible as someone who spent 6 months in country. So that time factor is not a factor at all in this. The various diseases that are linked to a dioxin base, and I always say that because Agent Orange was in itself the ingredient within Agent Orange that is the culprit is actually the dioxin content. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
Through the chair, Mr. Rossi, that was not where my questions were going, and I'll withdraw the question because this committee unfortunately doesn't have limitless time. Thank you very much. Appreciated your testimony. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Greenberg. Any further questions? Okay, and just to double check, no further testimony online or in the audience. With that, we'll go ahead and close public testimony. And Representative Greenberg, did you want to offer up a conceptual amendment?
I would just ask, would there be any objection from the sponsor to adding Senator Bernie Sanders or whoever is the current chair of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee and whoever is the ranking Republican? Okay. Then I would so move as an amendment.
Okay, are there any objections to the amendment? Seeing no objection, the conceptual amendment is adopted. Okay, with that, I would entertain a motion for at that point.
All right. I move that H.J.R. 25 out of committee as amended, right, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes, if any.
Right. Thank you, Representative Higgins. And are there any objections to the resolution? Seeing no objections, H.J.R. 25, version A, is moved out of committee. Thank you. If we could just take a moment to sign the folder. Taken at ease. Okay, we'll come back to order here. Next up, we have House Bill 286. I believe we have somebody from the administration here who can speak to that. If you could, and I would like to note for the committee as well that we do have online Carrie Bowling and Diana Irwin, both with the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, available for questions. And so if you could put your name on the record and proceed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mike Barnhill, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Administration. Pleased to be before the committee today on HB 286, which is introduced by request of the governor. We call this our Veterans Update Bill. We want to thank the committee for hearing this last week. I have in the room with me an array of expertise from the Department of Administration, Division of Personnel, Division of Retirement Benefits, and also from the Department of Law, both on the line and in the room, to entertain and answer any questions the committee may have from last week.
Okay. And with that, does the committee have any questions for Mr. Barnhill? Representative Sadler?
Thank you, Ms. Barnhill. Pleasure to see you here. I appreciate the generosity of spirit for the administration bringing forth this this legislation to update veterans from Vietnam. An awful lot's happened since Vietnam. An awful good stuff and some bad stuff, so I think it's entirely appropriate to extend that. But secondly, the generosity of spirit that the administration would extend to a deceased activated guardsman the benefits of their employment to their survivors' dependents is generous. A question I would ask, so has the state calculated what the exposure is likely to be actuarially?
Yes, sir, through the chair, Representative Sadler. We did, after last week's hearing, reach out back to our actuary, Buck Consultants, and ask the question. And what they did is they computed the projected number of deaths that would be expected in PERS, Public Employee Retirement System, and TERS, Teachers Retirement System, based on percentage of military in the U.S. population as a whole. And so they projected that over 11 to 12-year period, it would be 1.13 deaths based on experience from 2003. And that 1.13 deaths would equate to about $800,000 worth of benefits in that 10 to 11, 12-year period. And the actuary concluded that based on accumulated liability, accrued liability of $30 billion, that $800,000 over a 10-year period was de minimis. So that's why we did not submit a fiscal note. Now, again, I have to emphasize, that's based on total U.S. population for the last 10 or so years from 2003 forward. We have to ask ourselves whether that's predictive of the next 10 years or next 20 years.
Certainly the higher percentage of Alaskans who have served in country in uniform would predispose those people slightly higher, but probably not significant. You said over 10 to 11 years, you're saying going forward from passage of this, over 11 to 12 years, that would be the cost over that time?
Through the chair, the data that they used was from 2003 to today, so that's 10 or 11 years.
Okay, good deal. And then you said, okay, good. Okay. No, that's it.
Are there any further questions? Okay, seeing no further questions, I believe we did close public testimony at the last hearing, but I will just open it up in case we do have anybody. So public testimony is open. I also do want to note that we have Rachel Witte with the Department of Law online if there are any questions. So is there any further testimony, public testimony? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close public testimony. And I guess, are there any questions or any amendments of the committee? Representative Sadler?
I would ask a question. Perhaps Deputy Commissioner here might answer this. The question, sir, is just, I know there's language, in, for example, on page 7, line 27, 8, and 9. What are the, when is the conflict in Afghanistan likely to be deemed legally concluded for the purposes of veterans' benefits?
For the record, Mr. Chairman, McHugh Pierre, Deputy Commissioner, DMVA, through the chair, Representative Sadler, that is a best guess scenario for us. I know that right now, current conflict members are included. So OIF, OEF, a great example is Representative Hughes' son, who has spent time in the Air Force and was in Afghanistan, in the theater of operations, I should say. So his benefits, he is considered a veteran of that conflict. However, the official definition of a veteran by the VA does not include that conflict specifically yet. However, with the OIF, Operation Iraqi Freedom, designation in this updated definition, it does include the spectrum that we're talking about and the time frame we're talking about. So this is the most current up-to-date definition that the VA is using, and it does cover all current conflict members. But Representative Sadler, your specific question, I would think when the President officially removes our last troops and concludes the conflict, which is supposed to be, you know, 2015 is what we hear, but we don't know for sure.
It's in the hands of Karzai.
Okay, are there any further questions? Representative Hughes?
I'll just make the comment that I don't need to declare a conflict of interest because my son is not a state employee.
Thank you. Okay, well, with that, I'll entertain a motion.
Okay, I move HB 286 version A out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Okay, thank you. Are there any objections?
Right.
Seeing no objections, HB 286 version A is passed with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Thank you. Okay, and with that, we'll go ahead and take a moment to sign the committee sheet. Thank you, everybody. At ease.